I haven't coughed in 3 days. As soon as I walk up here, I'd cough. God, that was weird. Psalm chapter 3. I had to make a note right there during the singing. This is a brand new message. This morning was a brand new message for me. So how long you been preaching? All these messages seem new. It's amazing how if you just stay with it. I had somebody one time say, well, if you stay here long enough, you'll preach all the messages you got. I don't know if that's possible, really. And then I'm that kind of person that sees one thing new in a message, and I'll preach the whole message just to get that one point back out. But tonight is a totally different message, and I'm hoping to expound on it and build a brand new message. And I'm hoping it'll help you guys. There's a real sweet transition between 2 and 3 that I want to get to. Verse 2 and 3. Are y'all at Psalm 3? Are y'all made it there yet? Do y'all want to think tonight? Think in there? Sometimes I like to preach. I like to get into emotion. I like to feel in the spirit. And sometimes I like to think. I like God to make me think about what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying? All right, so first let's look at Psalm 3. Look right below Psalm 3. I don't know if this does it in your Bible. But in my Bible, it says a Psalm of David. Do y'all see that? When he fled from Absalom, his son. When he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, when I read that, does that spark? Some of y'all are church folk in here. Y'all been reading. Y'all have read the Bible. And you kind of know who I'm talking about, right? You know when I'm talking about, correct? Does that not still strike you a little bit odd that a man's fleeing from his son? A father running from his son. That's very neat. I think it's very neat today in 2022. I believe there's a lot of fathers that run from their sons, run from their daughters, run from responsibility, right? Especially when it gets hard, right? Especially, let me go a little deeper. Let's go one layer deeper. Especially when you've created trouble, when you've created a monster, when you've created havoc by your actions, then you run from the situation. Now, this is a little bit, if you let this settle in, David took Bathsheba, right, and killed her husband, right, had her husband killed. And the Lord came to him by way of the prophet, Nathan, and said, the sword will never depart from your house. Because you have done this, this is what's going to happen. This is part of the process of that. But I just think it's neat that we can look and see some of our actions, fathers, mothers, sons and daughters. We can see some anger, some frustration, and sometimes family discourse, and you think, man, the worst thing you could have is an enemy within. Amen? An enemy within your own home. Amen? No, let's just go a little further than that. An enemy that you've raised. Amen? Spend a little bit of time. Wait till you get a little bit older. Maybe you get about my age now. You're in your late 40s, and you're sitting around with your 17-year-old son. You have conversations with them, and you're talking, and they say something, and the first thing comes across your mind is, who in the world raised this guy? Right? This guy did. Right? She did too.
sorry.
But ain't that amazing that you can have such different ideas, different emotions, different range of feeling, different answers? There's some answers like my answer would be this and his answer would be that. And you're like, is that my son with that answer? I thought he would answer like I would answer or, you know, like we would answer. Does that make sense to you? David is in a period of his life where he should be able to go out and end his reign as king, and Absalom should be an asset, not an adversary. You can raise an adversary that should be an asset. Your children should be arrows in the quiver. They should be extensions of your life that come back to help, care, mold, make the future. They're supposed to be the things that you've sown into the world that are the only thing that kind of prolong your longevity of who you are on this earth. Amen? Ain't that amazing? I'll get on some soapboxes right here and preach right here about sometimes we get people who think they're furthering their career by destroying their children. Only when they'll find out one day the greatest treasure, the greatest experience, the greatest victories they ever had in their life were their children. Amen? I think a lot of times somebody said, what great things have you done in your ministry? One of the greatest, probably the greatest thing done. I got to have a son. I got to raise a son. I got to raise a boy. I got to raise a girl. Amen? I got to raise people. And they get to go on and do the things they get to do. What an amazing thing that is. Amen? Yeah, that's pretty cool. But I see this, and so I want you to get the context. I wanted y'all to see this because this is, sometimes we can get in the Bible and we're reading and preaching the Bible and we're thinking, well, that's normal, you know. The son comes up and tries to take over the father. He wasn't just, if he would have caught him in the palace, he would have killed him. He would have killed him, and he would have killed all of his brothers and sisters. He would have killed everybody in the family to make himself the king without anybody's reproach. Ain't that something? So I want you to see this. David is leaving, and he's going up to the Mount of Olives, and he's leaving. Could you imagine being run out of your own kingdom, run out of your own home, run out of your life by what you've raised? People talking and consoling, and you'd have a few people that would come up to you and try to console and try to do stuff and say the right things. I'm preaching better than you're letting on right here. They would try to say all the right things. Anybody ever had something happen so crazy in your life? Every time somebody thinks they're trying to help you, they're trying to hurt you. Wait a minute, let me say that the correct way. Every time they think they're helping you, they're really hurting you and they don't even know it. Amen. And the person, have you ever been that other person too? It seems like you're trying to do something and try to say something, and you're sitting there going, it looks like I'm doing more harm than good. Amen? There's a weight on the Lord in there somewhere. But I love this. You'd have people coming and going, but then you'd have other people. He could probably hear the whispers. If they would have been better Christians, if they would have prayed better, if they hadn't had this going on, you know what I mean? Golly, bum! Everybody, man, I'm being honest. Everybody can armchair your quarterback your life, amen. Especially when you're going through some trauma, amen. So let's jump into the scripture. Man, I love this kind of stuff. I love Sunday night, love Wednesday night because there's a different feeling. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. I don't believe he's talking about Absalom. I really don't. I believe when you have family issue like this, when you have things that are coming against you that are so radically off the charts that it gives way to spiritual attack. Amen? Right? Y'all might want to write that down. It gives way to a spiritual attack. A spiritual army forms and comes in like a flood, and the fear and the anxiety and the pain and the doubt and the guilt and the shame come marching in. Does that make sense? Because some of y'all are going to go through this in different meanings. Maybe when your body attacks, maybe when your family attacks, maybe when whatever happens in this life and is capable of happening, you're going to find yourself, you're going to hear many voices on the inside. You're going to hear many voices in your head, in your ear. Golly, bum, I wish y'all would get that, right? Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. How many? Many. Golly, I don't know if anybody else needs this in this room during this time, but I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't need it today, put a date beside it and say, hey, the preacher preached this. I remember when I was up on the mountaintop, everything was going well, because there's going to be a time when things are going to happen to you and you're going to be sitting on the other side, and all you're going to hear, all you're going to think is, man, this is bad. I can't believe they're attacking me. I can't believe I didn't do anything wrong. What am I? Amen. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Are we seeing souls saved? Like today, of all days, I'm sitting here. Altars are filling up. People are lining up to be joining the church. People are being baptized. Some people are jumping in there and being baptized without nobody asking, and that's awesome, Dorothy. I didn't even see her. She's like, hey. And I'm like, hey. Man, that's awesome. But let me tell you something, friend. You don't do things like that, and the enemy sits idly by and goes, can't mess with them. Can't touch them. No, you know what he says? I'm going to redouble and triple my efforts. So when I see those things, I'm excited, and I can't help but be like, man, I can't wait to see what happens. But I also got to realize, if you attack hell, hell attacks back. Amen? So guess what? I wouldn't be surprised if we start having some issues. Somebody said, man, why would God allow us to have issues if he's trying to make it clear we want to do this? I'll be honest with you. A lot of times, I don't measure how good I'm doing with God by how good I am doing. I kind of measure it by how much trouble am I in. If I'm getting nailed, like just recently, I'm not going to get into all the detail, but just recently, had a big attack. And the very next day, my feeling was, I should go on to the next verse because it'll clear that up. But the very next day, you know what I did? I rolled off on the floor, and when I should have went back on the offensive, I went to heaven. What I mean by the offensive, by Kevin's offensive, is I'm very competitive nature. I'm very hard-headed. I can be unforgiving. Amen? Especially if you hurt me. If you hurt me, unforgiving. Matter of fact, I want to see you hurt as bad as I was hurting. That's a lie. I want to see you hurt worse. Amen? That was a lie. But Jesus. But Jesus lives in here. And there's this crazy weird voice when it says, all right, we're about to get even, God gives. All right, here's how we're going to get even. I want you to pray for him. That's silly. But look, roll off on the floor, just go to praying and saying, God, help me learn to take attack better and help me love better and help me forgive better. And God, help me see when attack comes, it's not because we're doing something wrong, it's because we're doing something right. Amen? What's that? That's so good. Here's the switch. Watch this right here. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Let's pump the brakes right there. I want y'all to get this. Please think. Think right here with me. These are not people. These are not Absalom. This is not the army that he's brought in. This is not a physical army. This is David going up to the Mount of Olives. He's riding up there, and he's talking about a spiritual attack here, because listen to what it says. Many there be which say of my soul. Every psalm you read is a psalm to your soul. Most of the when you read the Psalms, it's talking about your soul. It's not talking about the physical man, okay? David sings psalms to God from his soul. His soul loved God. His flesh warred with God. Amen? Some days it was good with God. Some days it warred with God. But the soul was to God. He never had another God, okay? So right here he says, there be many voices, right, that says what? God, I wish I'd get this. There is no help for him in God. You ever heard that one? Have you heard that? Like, we don't say it that way. That's King James. But here's what it is. Why are you trusting in God? There's no help for you in God. You ever felt that way? Have you ever got that message? Have you ever got that signal? I have prayed. I have done all the right things. And all of a sudden I get this little, I don't know why he trusts God. He ain't done nothing yet. Huh? And it's loud. Hey man, it's louder than the Holy Spirit. It's loud, it's profound, it's true. Trust in yourself, do something, da 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 da. Y'all, are you with me? Stay right there, listen to that, because guess what? That's going to happen to you. There is no help for him in God. Selah, there's no help. That's how he felt. I wish Christians were better. I wish we were better at telling the truth. I'm telling you, man, we are some. There's a big reason why the world hardly ever gets help for the church, because the church never tries to. It never shows its brokenness. It never shows our scars, and it never shows our current wounds, because we're afraid if we show any wounds, then people won't think we're perfect. Man, it's crazy. So that's when people filter in here and they're from the world and they haven't been saved or they've been backslidden. They're looking at us and they're going, man, they've got it all together. They never cry. They never weep. They never break. They never, I mean, nothing ever happens. How do they do that? Because they're broken now. Man, and here it is. I mean, the Lord shared this in His Scriptures. There is no help. Man, I hear that. Golly, I get that. As a preacher, I wish I could tell you, man, every day I get up and I put on the whole armor of God and I just polish that up and I sit on my couch or I ride my Jeep or I come down here to the office and I just sit in this big awesome armor outfit and, man, I'm just shining. And everything, I don't ever have any doubt or fear of what's going on with God, the world, or anything else. That's not true. There are things that come against me that will come against this church, and I'll go, where's the help? Are y'all good? I'm not leaving you, I promise. Listen, watch this change. Watch, there's a sweet shift right here. And David's good at it. We need to get good at it. Watch this sweet change. But thou, oh my gosh. Did y'all see that? Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, but God, but you, Lord. Right? See what he did? He put a change in his mind. There's a transaction going on right there. Here's how I feel, but I'm about to tap into my faith. Here's how I feel. I feel and I hear and I'm exposed and I feel like there's no help from God. That's what the enemy's saying. That's how I'm being attacked. That's how I feel. And here's my feeling and I'm about to change. I'm about to make a transaction. I'm going to put in on my feelings and I'm going to withdraw from my faith. Whew. But thou, Lord, are a shield for me. Hey, come on, man. That's it. What did he do? What he was hearing, what he was thinking is different than what he's about to start saying. He said, but you, Lord, you're a shield to me. God, ain't that good? He goes, you are a shield to me. My glory. My glory. And the lifter up of mine head. Golly bum, man, I'm telling you, some of y'all are cooler than just like cucumbers. That shield is a big deal. I'd like to preach on it for a while, but I won't. Hey, man, watch this right here. That shield and my glory. Oh, my goodness, there's a lot there. The lifter up my head, though. Good grace. That takes me back to being a little boy. Hey, remember when you was a little kid and you had something go against you? I mean, hurt, mad, frustrated, and you had somebody that really you loved and you looked up to and cared about would come and put their finger up under your chin and say, hey, lift your head up. It's going to be all right. Somebody loves you. Somebody cares about you. I got you. You ain't never alone. Right? Are y'all good? Man, I got one on my mom. My mom, this is the best story I got on my mom. My mom worked two jobs, sometimes three jobs. My dad left when I was about 8 years old. My mom worked two or three jobs. I was a sports playing machine. I volunteered for every sports team there was. I didn't care if it was football, basketball, or baseball. I hated baseball, but I'd sign up for it because I hated being at the house by myself. So I signed up for football 1 year, and my mom did tell me, she was like, Kevin, she said, listen, this football thing is running into my work hours, and she goes, there might be a day that I might be late to your practice to pick you up. And I'm like, I ain't scared of nothing. You show up whenever you want to. Was never late. She had a Buick Regal, all right? I don't know why Buick Regal sticks in my head. She had two Buick Regals, but that's, anyway. All right, so guess what? That night, the practice ended, coach ended a little bit early. Next thing you know, the football players all left, disappeared. I don't even know why. They just gone. Pow, 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 pow. And I stand there by myself, me and the coach. And the coach's like, Kevin, your mama going to be here? My mom's on her way. He goes, do you mind? I'm in a hurry. I've got to go. I'm like, hey, coach, you know, go on, man. I ain't got no problem whatsoever, man. Well, I'm standing on the fairgrounds in Benton, Tennessee. And, like, I mean, all of a sudden, all the lights are on me and the coach is out there. And he goes, all right, see, buddy. He walks over. I had no idea what was going to happen next. He turns all the football lights off. I'm standing in the middle of this football field, dark. All right. I'm pretty nervous. I said, I'll go over here to the show barn. Well, I go over to the show barn. I'm like, all right, man. This is even creepier than the field was. I'm like 10 or 11 years old, you know. So I see this building lit up down there, and I'm like, hey, you know what I'll do? I'll walk down there. That's usually how she comes in. So I walk down there, and I just get down about halfway, and all of a sudden I get, and there's this barbed wire fence on the back, big Constantine wire wrapped around the top of it, and I'm looking at her, what's that? And all of a sudden these men start, hey, boy, wait, I'm going to go, what? I'm right outside the Polk County Jail, didn't know it. So in that time, different. Polk County Jail then is different than Polk County Jail today, I guarantee it. It's rough characters in a rough place. So I walked around to the front, and there's people, cops coming in, people going in and out. And I walked in, and I was about to knock on the door. I probably got my mom arrested or something. Not in Polk County, but I was about to grab the door, and all of a sudden I hear tires squealing. Gravel's popping. And I turned around. I knew what it was before I even did anything. I turned around. My mom come flying in that Buick Regal, and the door is flying open. Like some kind of out of a movie. She goes, get in, son. I didn't know I was going to be late. Get in. Your mama's right here. Don't worry. Man, I'm being honest with you. I played it off cool. I said, Mom, that's great. I don't care. I was in my heart. All I could see is just vicious people in there. I'm like, what's going to happen to me? I'm riding home, and the whole time she's running. She goes, I'll never leave you. I'll never let you go by. Don't worry about it. I'll always be there. I'll always be there for you. And I'm like, oh, man. And I could just feel, just like this, I could just feel my head being lifted up because I was scared. Amen? I was scared. I still see that like it was yesterday when God said, I will come, and I will be the one who lifts up your head. Sometimes you just have to have somebody help you lift your head up. Is that not good? That is so good, man. I'm being honest with you. There's going to be times in life, you can amen me, some of you experience, that this world is going to get you and it's going to pull your face down. It's going to pull your head down. And your joy and your happiness and that disposition you've always had, people are going to go, where'd it go? And you're going to say, I don't know. I thought I was strong enough to go through this, but this has really got me down. But guess what? If you will tap into your faith, God will lift up your head. Amen. He will lift it up. That's so good. I love that. He's the lifter up of my head in that faith right there. I cried. Watch this right here. Verse 4. I'm going to try to get it done. I promise. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Let's stop right there. How many of y'all, when y'all read that, you kind of go, I'm not a big cry baby. I'm not a crier. I have a hard time crying. That's all right. I want to get you there. That's all right. I want y'all to see this. You know, do you know who penned this? One of the greatest warriors that ever lived. The man who slew Goliath, who walked up there and hit him in the head with a rock, then cut his head off, then toted his head around, all that. The man that was a warrior, the man who would not get to build the temple of God because his hands were so bloody. God didn't let him build the house of God because he had so much blood on his hands. This man was a wrought iron war machine. He was a man through and through. But guess what? When he was attacked spiritually and when he was broken mentally and emotionally, he cried out before God. There is a strength in a man who will get broken before God that this world will not allow you to hear about or even think about. But there is a power that if you will get humble before God, he said, if you will humble yourselves before me, I will lift you up. He will strengthen you like nobody else will. And people will say, there is a strength and a power about that man or that woman that I never knew existed. And the reason it'll exist is because you were broken and humble before God. And nobody's seen. No, everybody got to see you kind of fall. Nobody got to see you fall apart in that closet or in that prayer room. But God puts you back together. Man, if God puts you back together, you will stand. You will be who you're supposed to be for Him. Man, that's good. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Man, I'll be honest with you. If you don't, you got to learn to start praying. You got to learn to start praying. And you don't have to be some kind of architect of prayer. Just talk to Him like you talk to yourself. Just like you talk to anybody else. Especially your brother, mother, father, wife. Talk to Him. My prayers are so simple. My prayers are, some people say, will you pray with me? I'm in over here in a kindergarten. God help us. We don't know no better. God help us. Just heal her. Just touch her. Just touch Him. That's all I want. That's what we want in the first place. We act like we got to go around Main Street to get there, but praise God, I just go right to them. Hey, it's what I want, like a child. A child, you've said, hey, I got a dollar. It'd say, give it to me. They wouldn't go around the moon about it. I cried unto the Lord in his voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. What I was going with that is, in my prayer, sometimes God don't answer right away. Sometimes God don't even answer. But you know what I like? Is he hears me. Because sometimes an answer, you don't have to have an answer. You have to have God hear. Because you know he's working it out. Amen? And when you prayed, before you prayed, before you sent the first prayer up, God heard the prayer, and he's already answering. He just ain't answering in a way that you're receiving. Amen? You got to think of it that way. What's this right here? Oh, man, this is so good. Verse 5, y'all need to make this part of your life verse out of this psalm. I laid me down and slept. Amen. Man, could you imagine? You're on the run from Absalom, your son, who's trying to destroy you and everything about you, and I guarantee you he's questioning everything he's ever done. He's under spiritual attack, but he's went and he's prayed in faith. He's cried before God, and what does God allow him to do? Get rest. Rest. Well, do you think rest is important? I wish some of you that's missed a couple of nights of sleep would raise your hand in here every once in a while and go, amen. Amen, brother. That sleep's good. Amen. I can tell you, I've had nights before, my mind, sometimes, I don't know how it happens or where it happens, but every once in a while, my mind will click on, and I'm up. You couldn't turn it off, ever thought. I could call NASA and fix 90% of every problem in the world. Bzzz. I mean, it's like a doggone press goes on. Can't shut it off. I'll get up in the middle of the night. I'll get up at 4, and I'll be up till then. But, man, the next day, by 10:30, 11 o'clock the next day, I couldn't put four letters in alphabet soup together. Amen. Some of y'all get that later. I don't even know if there is an alphabet soup anymore. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. He got up, and he was able to go through the process with the Lord. Amen. He was able to go through the process with the Lord. There is a rest to the people of God, and there is a sustaining to the people of God. You might want to write those back down. There is a rest to the people of God, and there is a sustaining to the people of God. Whew. I need rest, and I need sustaining. I need God to hold me up when I can't hold myself up. I need God to undergird me when I didn't even know I was needing undergirding. Amen. I need God to give me rest when I have my mind's running wide open. Everything's going. I'm trying to figure it out. And God says, go to. Could you imagine that, Charlie? Could you imagine that whole thing's going on? I mean, the whole world, his whole world's upside down. Could you imagine that night when he got to praying and all of a sudden they said, what is the king doing right now? It's 11:30. What is he doing? He's in there sound asleep. What? All heck's breaking loose in his family. His son is doing all kinds of craziness. He's either going to have to kill his son or his son's going to kill him. There is a kingdom split off both sides. What is he doing? The Lord has allowed him to. We heard him. He made a plea and a petition before God. And now he's sleeping. And then the next day they said, and look, God's taking care of the situation. Hey, man, that's good, ain't it? Verse 6, this is good. When he wakes up the next day, or when he gets back into position where God's giving him the rest and he's sustaining him, I will not be afraid, whew, good Lord, of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Salah. Amen. You know what he said? Guess what? God started moving things and moving people, moving situations. And guess what? Absalom was killed. Absalom was taken down. David was restored back to the kingdom. Why? Because God. Because of God. Amen. Because they're in this process. Guys, I come here to preach this to you, and I was like, God, I don't know how to get this across. There's information in here. But listen, during this time period, there's all kinds of stuff going on. He is outside of his normal operation. He's outside of his home. He's outside of his operation. He's outside of his comfort. He's outside of his family. He's on the run. There's all these things going on, and he has no clue what could go on. All his whole world is turned upside down. So listen, we're talking about kings and kingdoms here. We're just talking about our lives. Your life can be turned upside down in one knock of the door or one phone call. Amen? Be turned upside down that quick. So what are we going to do? When you have the enemy, when you have your issue, you have your family, whatever's going on, then you have the incoming information, and then you know how you feel, there's got to be a transition of your faith. You got to go to God, and you got to say, look, this is how I feel. This is what's going on. This is what I'm hearing. But you are my shield. Amen? You are my protector. You are the one I'm going to run into. I trust you. Amen? And then what does he do? He gives you rest, sustains, and then he saves. Amen? And then through that process, David would go through that. You know what he would say? Now, what are you going to do what can you do when you go through something like that and you've done this process? Then you're going to be able to go to somebody else who's when their world's turned upside down. You can sit beside them and say, this is the only thing I know that you can do. I know you feel a certain way, but let's tap into our faith. Amen? Has anybody got help from that tonight? Let's all stand. We'll pray.